to Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. We're in the second half of today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. We're having a conversation about anger. Has anger crept its way into your marriage? If so, and you're looking for some advice, Marcos is here to help you out. So reach out to him at 855-454-5905. We have Tisha calling in from Philadelphia. Tisha, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you doing?
All right.
Good, good, Tisha. So you mentioned her, but you're angry right now. I mean, do you literally mean like right now you're calling and you're angry, upset about something?
I'm not going to lie. Yes, I'm very angry.
Okay, so what's going on?
Well, basically, I've been married for 5 years. Within those 5 years, I've had 3 children back-to-back. I've really stuck by, and I've been there for my husband. He has, you know, he ran the streets, and he went behind my back and started living selling stuff that he shouldn't have sold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has, you know, he got knocked up, and, you know, and, like, basically, all of the burden that a woman shouldn't have, I've had on my shoulders.
Okay.
Not only that, since when we first got married, he had another son outside of our marriage. Not outside of our marriage, but he was 15.
Oh, so he already, when you met him, he had a son.
Yes. Right, his mom put him out when we first got married. I took the son in, made him comfortable, home for the son. I didn't just keep him for 2 weeks. I kept him. And I made a comfortable, I brought him a bed, a flat screen TV, just took care of the boy. I didn't treat him no different than I treated my own children. My husband and I, we have 3 children back to back. The first child, she passed away. She was stillborn. We have 2 babies. They're 2 and 3. Then I have an older daughter. My daughter, she's 14. But I took the son in. But his son has disrespected me from time. It's every couple years, like, his son keep on disrespecting me.
And how old is the son?
His son is 20 now. His son is going to be 20 in a couple of weeks.
And is he still living in the house? 15. Is he still there?
Well, my husband, well, it seems like the son has a stronghold on my husband.
Mm-hmm.
My husband won't let this boy go. And I keep telling my husband, like, your son keep disrespecting. And the first 3 times his son disrespected me, I said, I forgave him. And I said, I'm going to let him stay because my husband really loves his son.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to separate the two. But it just happened a couple of days ago, and his son called me B names and call me out my name and disrespect me unseemly.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, I have a daughter who's hearing this. I have two baby sons. And at the end of the day, my husband, he's supposed to be here to protect me. And I feel like I'm naked out in the cold. And this man has done so much to me throughout these years that I don't want to play a victim. I'm not a victim. I'm a victor. But at the same time, I have to see my own reality for what it is. My husband is not in a good place. Take care of me or take care of our children, our family. At the end of the day, his son disrespect me.
Yeah.
I've done nothing but been good to his son. I've put money in his pockets, help him get his license.
I've
done everything I can do to be a good wife and to be a good mother. My husband really just turned his back on me.
Okay. Well, I think a couple of things here. Number one, Tisha, I think you more than angry, you sound really, really upset. Like, not just like an anger, but it's like from deep hurt and disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you're upset. So it's not like this raging anger, you know, like, hey, you know, I'm about to, you know, throw all my husband's stuff out the window and he can never come back kind of thing.
I didn't do that, but I was thinking about, because I did put this son out. My husband, well, he basically threw me under the bus with his ex-wife.
Mm-hmm.
He basically called it when I said, at first, I wasn't going to put his son out. This is the fourth time. So at first, when I
I hear you, Tisha. We're going to be limited on time. So let me just say a couple of things. No, it's okay. You don't have to apologize. I just want to make sure we get to the heart of this really quickly here, as quickly as we can, and be fair to you and our listeners as well. So, okay. Is your husband locked up right now?
No, he's
out. So he's out. All right, but
he never was locked up.
Oh, okay, I thought you said he got locked up. He was doing stuff.
3 years ago when I got him out of jail. He did 6 months house arrest.
Did he stop doing the different things he's doing, or are you still suspicious of his behavior?
No, not at all. And like I said, I've been just trying to pray and trust God, but the lifestyle has not cheated. I'm not going to lie. I believe that he wants to. I believe that sometimes when he go on a job interview and it doesn't go his way, he starts tears go to his eyes. I believe the change is coming. I believe that God is making a difference. But it hasn't changed yet.
Okay. Well, this is what it sounds like, Tisha. Number one, you got to make sure you have boundaries.
Right.
You know, God calls us to have love and even to love unconditionally, but that doesn't mean we don't put up and don't have certain conditions. And so what you said about the son disrespecting you the way he is, I mean, I think you're totally in the right to be able to say, listen, I'm not going to live this way. I'm not going to have him disrespect me. I'm not going to have him act like a fool in this house. No way. So I just want to share something with you. 1 Corinthians 7, because a lot of times people feel stuck.
That's one of my favorites.
And in 1 Corinthians 7, I just want you to realize this, okay? And again, this is not saying this so that you can move on and find someone else. I'm not saying that. But this is what the scriptures say. And it says, hold on, I'm going to read. It says, the verse 10, it says, to the married, I give this command, not I, but the Lord, wife must not separate from her husband. But if she does, she must remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband, and the husband does not divorce his wife. See, there are cases where you shouldn't, but in some extreme cases, you can, but that means that you are better off by yourself. And the way you're making it sound, it's what he's going through.
Right.
It's best to separate and then reconcile when he really is different. Like, listen, it's okay for you to say, you know, honey, I love you, but there's no way we're going to live this way. It's dangerous.
It's dangerous.
You got to get it together. And look, I love you. I don't care if you're working at Walmart. I just want you to have a job.
I work at a pizza store. I've always supported him.
Exactly. And you're saying, listen, we can.
When I lost my job, I do hear out of my home, and I've always had something to put to the table. I never let him be on his own. But one of the questions I just wanted to ask you is that, like, I don't want to put my husband, I put his son out, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But he basically keeps saying he's not going to choose a woman over his son. So
basically,
you, in your heart, you abandoned your family already. I don't want to put my husband out, but his son still has the key to my home. His son came and got some of his belongings and get all of it. So I'm feeling in my heart, like, they think that I'm some type of joke. He thinks that he's going to wind up coming back to the home. My husband's saying he's looking for a place if I ask him to. But I don't want to call the cops and get him put out. I don't want to put him out there like that because he is the father of my children. But I just want to do what's best for me and my children. So I don't want to be wicked with it. I do want to walk in love. But at the same time, I don't want to be naive either. So I don't know if I should just call the cops, because I know sometimes you got to call the cops, get your locks changed. I don't want to put him out there. My husband don't have nowhere to go.
Okay, but here's the thing.
At the same time, he always tell people that we build this home together. He always make it seem.
No, I hear you. I hear you, Tisha. And this is a dilemma that a lot of Christians go through. They feel like you got to be nice. You can't be nice with someone that is unreasonable. So what do? You say this. You say, listen, hey, I love you. I need this space. This is not right. I'm going to hold my ground. And so what happens is, I don't want to do this, but I will if you make me, if you push me to this. I don't want to call the cops. I don't want to be, you know, put you out there. But honestly, if you push me to this, I will have to. That way, it's not you doing it. It's he understands it. And if he tests you in this, you got to be willing to do it. It can't be a bluff.
Like, he's taking me as a joke. He's still going to make him dinner.
You know why? Because you probably have done that before, Tisha.
Like, you're looking for a place for you and your son. Why? But at the same time, I'm not going to lie, Mr. Marcos, I did it because I know that Jesus.
All right, I'm going to share something with you. We're going to take a brief break, Tisha. Just please hold on, because I want to share something with you that I think is going to help you. And I hope you stand firm this time. But we're going to take a brief break, so hold on, please.
All right, so stay on the line. If you are not yet on the line, feel free to give us a call. If you're having an issue with anger in your marriage or in your relationship, give us a call at 855-454-5905. Stay close. Marriage Beyond the Vows continues after this.
Back to Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're Praise. And a very good morning to you. Welcome back. We're in the final segment of today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows, and we are talking about anger within your relationship. Feel free to give Marcos a call at 855-454-5905. We left off in the middle of a conversation with Tisha, where we will rejoin that now. Tisha, are you still there?
Yes, ma'am, I'm still here.
Okay. Tisha, thank you so much for your patience as we took that
Welcome.
Brief break. So for everyone that's listening and just tuning in, Tisha is really angry right now. Her husband and his adult child live in the house, and the child has been very disrespectful, and the husband has is really not changing. He's living a lifestyle that she's concerned about would affect the younger children and really their own safety. And so, Tisha, you're torn because you don't want to be the bad guy, right?
Right, and I have a daughter,
him.
Too. She's 14.
You have a daughter. She's younger, too. That's what I mean, younger
right.
children.
Right.
A 14-year-old and I think a two or three-year-old.
2 and 3.
2 and 3-year-old, yeah. So you're concerned for their safety, and you're also concerned for the environment that is around by his adult child, but also by your husband, I mean, his lifestyle.
Yes.
So, all right, so you've put him out, and you've said that... You put the son out, but
yes.
and what about the husband? Your husband.
The husband, I gave him time to get a place because I didn't want to put him in the street. So I gave him a certain amount of time to get a
place. How much time you gave him?
Because basically, he already chose him and his son, so I gave him a certain amount of time.
So is he leaving, or does he think?
I gave him a certain amount of time. I just told him that he has to get a place for him and his son.
Okay, so
he's saying that I provoke his son, and he basically took the whole situation and turned it around on me like I'm the bad guy.
Okay, but is he leaving or not leaving?
Huh?
Is he going to leave or not going to leave?
He said he has to leave because I just feel like I need, like you said, I need time for me to heal because there's a lot that I've been doing during for these last couple years. He's saying that he's looking for a place. But at the same time, like I said, I don't want to be mean and put him out right away. I feel like I do want to put him out right away. But then
okay.
I feel like he is the father of my children. He's still my husband.
Okay.
I don't want to put him in the street.
Okay.
So I don't know what to do, to be honest with you.
All right. I'm going to show you. It's not an exact fit, but I want you to understand the heart that God has.
Right,
so that you're not torn and feel like, hey, I'm the bad person. I'm a bad person. Right. So this is what the Bible says dealing with conflict. This is Matthew chapter 18.
Mm-hmm.
In verse 15, it says, if your brother or sister mm-hmm. sins against you, go
right.
and point out their fault just
right.
between the two of you. Okay, so that's the first thing. You know, your husband sins against you, you point it out, you talk to them. If they listen to you, you have won
right.
them over. But if they will
right.
not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of 2 or 3 witnesses. So, all right, he won't listen. You bring some other people. You have an intervention. It says they still refuse to listen. You tell it to the church, right, the whole community. So if
right.
they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. And
right.
there's a lot in this passage, but the main thing is this. You try to reason with them from a
right.
biblical perspective. I don't know if your husband, you know, believes the Bible, if he even tries to...
Well, he's accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but he's never, like, really been in church. We read the Bible sometimes together. He's, like, never totally surrendered to God. He do always ask me if he's saved, and I always tell him, your salvation is between you.
That's the key question, right? Just because someone, you know, prayed and for Jesus into their heart, you said if they haven't surrendered, I mean, they
right.
got to be surrendered. They got to be willing to totally repent, to live
right.
the life of a disciple. I mean, we could go on and
right.
on, right, what the things
exactly.
they have to do.
Exactly.
But so what I'm saying, if the Bible's not his standard, so if he won't respond to the word, so what does the word say? The word calls him to repent. Repent
right.
of his sin, repent of the things he's doing that's hurting you.
Right.
The same thing with the son. So if he won't repent, then you get others involved. You have an intervention. But after
right.
that, and then you even get the whole community involved. I mean, you get everyone involved. If they still
right.
won't repent, the Bible says you treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Now,
right.
I'm not saying you treat a pagan or a tax collector without love, but you probably
right.
won't move them into your home. Yeah, you're not going
to
be okay with a pagan or a tax collector, which is basically today a drug dealer is like considered like what a modern day, you know,
right.
a tax collector would be, someone
right.
who really is is despised in society,
it
right?
Controls our family. Like, it's just like, you know, and I did call my father, but at the end of the day, I didn't tell certain my main family, like my mom and my grandma.
No, I hear you. But Tisha, let me finish. Let me finish this.
I'm sorry.
So after you've done everything you could, it's okay to have those boundaries and say, listen, you can't be here. So the Bible says, you put them out, you can't have them there. Now, if he repents and it's different, that's another story. But he hasn't shown you repentance. The son keeps disrespecting you. He's not changing. He wants to choose a child. So you got to be firm. You can't.
He even called his ex. Okay. And basically he threw me under the bus with his ex. And I'm like, wow, I've been here for this. Even when he was in a hospital and none of his children wasn't there.
Let me just be clear. You don't have to convince yourself that you're doing a good thing.
Right, yes. And I do that.
You won't be in the wrong by putting him out. Based on what you've shared with us. I mean, if there's more, if your husband wants to call in and say his side of the story or the son, then I'll be happy to talk to them. But based on what you've shared, you don't have to keep convincing yourself.
Right,
you know what the problem is, Tisha? You're too nice.
I'm so disappointed.
You're too nice.
Even when I talked to him yesterday, he was like, well, get over. You need to get over.
But
and I'm like,
stand firm, Tisha.
Jesus will probably tell me the same.
Listen. You need to stand firm what you're saying. I think you're trying to convince yourself that you're a good person. You're doing the right thing there. You have two very young children. You have a 14-year-old. You need to protect
them.
She's
angry, too, because she see where her mom is. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I'm like, Jesus don't treat me that way. Jesus absolutely loves me.
Amen. Amen. Well, Tisha, I think you know what you need to do.
Right.
Just stand firm. And listen, if you need any kind of confirmation, it sounds like protecting your children, doing the right thing. You've given them an opportunity. You're totally in the right by standing firm and steadfast with your decision. So, Tisha, thank you so much. Call us back. Let us know how things go. And
thank
if your husband,
you
I said,
and
if he wants to call.
Years, and I thank you for being a blessing to everyone. I mean, I listened to you before I was married. You're such a blessing to everyone. I just pray that God bless you and your family.
Well, thank
and
you.
Your ministry.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much, Tisha. You have a blessed day.
You too.
All right, take care. Let's go to Juanita calling in from New Jersey. Juanita, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning, Juanita. Can you speak up a little bit? We're having a hard time hearing you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
On my way to class. So.
Oh, okay, good. So do you have a few minutes so we could talk?
Yeah. So real fast, I spoke to you last year when I was going through with my husband. You know, we were separated. He was actually living with another woman. So this went on for a whole year. This year, we started working back on things in the beginning of the year. So now it's been a year almost that, you know, we've been trying to work on our marriage. He has moved back in. He has cut his ties off with the female. So I believe, not really sure. He says he's trying. He wants this marriage. I don't know. I think maybe I'm a little angry because, you know, nothing has been worked on, you know, far as, why did you leave? What caused you to be with another female, to be outside of our house? You know, all of the hurt that you caused me. And prior to him moving back in, you know, we was going to go to counseling, but that never happened.
So why did he move back in before that? Why did you even let him in?
Honestly, to be honest, I really didn't know it was happening until it, like, happened. He was coming, and then he started staying, and then he never moved all his stuff, like, fully in. He said it was in storage. Actually, they had a lease. That wasn't over until August of this year. So it just started slowly happening. And next thing I know, he was there. He was, like, back. Mm-hmm. Home, living here.
Okay. Well, I don't need to tell you this, but I'm going to say it just because our listeners, I want to make sure they're clear. You skipped some major steps. That separation and you working on it, that's commendable that you're starting to work at things. The part is that you skipped steps and you yourself weren't resolved and he totally didn't take responsibility and own it. Which is huge. I mean, you got to own it. You can't just say, that's nothing. You know, it's water under the bridge. I was with someone else. So, like, no, listen, you were in an affair. You had someone else. We can't just pretend this never happened. We got to deal with it. And so If anything, you first of all, you need to be angry with yourself. And I don't mean like angry with yourself and beat yourself up, but like indignant and saying, listen, we skipped something here and you allowed this to happen. So what do you have to do now is you have to take a step back. I want to share something with you. In Hebrews 12 in verse 15, it says, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Are you there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I thought we lost you. So what does the Bible say? It says you can't have a bitter root. What you have right now is a root that's really deep, and you don't deal with it, it will grow, and it will destroy everything else. Yeah. And I can't even tell you, based on what you're sharing with us, if he really is repentant or not, because...
He's not. Like, he's unsaved, you know, so when... I tried to do counseling with my apostle, and it was kind of like, oh, no, you know, he knows the story, so I don't want to deal with him. I tried to set up something with someone I don't know and he don't know, but I still wanted them to, you know the Lord. He didn't want to do that. So I'm at the point now where, you know, sometimes we can be happy, and then I just feel this anger, and I'm just like, you know, what are you here for? What are you trying to do? You know, if you still live in the worldly life, you know, nothing has changed. You're still doing the same thing. I still see the same signs.
Is he still with this other woman? He's still cheating?
He says he's not. But I see signs that, you know, possibly, you know, patterns that, you know, I've seen before. And it's like, oh, no, I'm in this to win it. I love you. I just want my family. Like, I feel like, who are you trying to convince, me or you? And that's where I'm at right now. I really do love my husband. We've been together for 10 years. We've been married for 6 years. And I just don't know. I don't know. I don't know what to do.
I don't want
to lose them.
You know, honey. You didn't call because you didn't know. You don't want to really know, I think, because you let that happen with him moving. You know what it's like? It's like you just wish that he were different, that you really were hoping he changed, but you're seeing all the signs. I mean, he's not showing you any inclination that he's different other than his words. And he probably always said the right things. I don't know your husband, but I can tell you he probably is a pretty smooth talker and he's saying the right things.
Manipulator,
But you're allowing yourself to get manipulated. And this is what I tell people all the time. When someone's not honest, you can't believe their words. You got to believe their actions. So forget what he says. I don't care if he even comes to you crying and says he loves you and he'll never hurt you. Look at the actions. You know, can you take it? Can you look at his phone? Can you verify that he's faithful? You know, those kind of things to me are huge red flags. He shouldn't be in the house. And at this point, he's already in the house, but there should be no debate. Like, you got to get counseling. You want to bring in a third party. And I know, I understand he might not necessarily be open to someone spiritual, but someone that at least is realistic and is going to say, listen, you're being dishonest in this relationship. And I think, Juanita, you need help too, because you you're torn. You want to see the truth, but you don't want to see the truth because it's painful. And you're going to need help to get the strength you need to brace yourself and see things the way they really are. And it's probably going to hurt you even more because it can be a lot worse than you even think.
Yeah, because he came back and it's still the same. Like, phone is on lock, shirt down, on silent. You know, he stayed out a whole weekend. It's really ridiculous, like, the things that happens. And, you know, I found myself last Friday, I put his kids out. And, you know, these is minor children. And I just felt like, you know, with the baby mom, I'm calling her and she wants to be hostile. And I just felt like I don't have to deal with this. You know, I'm trying to call her to kind of be on one page because the kids is always dirty. And, you know, he's paying child support, but they're always dirty. And I just felt like we need to talk about this. Do you need help? You know, what's going on? And the grades is horrible, everything, but she just wanted to be so disrespectful. And I said his kids had to go. And I felt bad because it was like 11 o'clock at night and these kids really love to be
around our
daughter.
I hear you. But listen, we can't get into all that with the kids. I wish we did have the time. But this is the bottom line, Juanita. You know what you need to do.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes, you know, folks, you know, you call and you just want to hear me tell you. The Bible says very clearly in the book of James, if you know the good that you ought to do, but you don't do it, it's sin. You know what you got to do. don't let yourself get played. I know you love him. I know you love the Lord. But there's some things that you got to be able to say, there's no way I'm going to live with this. I'm not going to share my husband. I'm not going to live with the lies. And you're okay by saying that. There's nothing wrong with you by taking a stand and having boundaries. And I think that's been the common thread today. It's almost like, oh, I feel bad because... No, you can't feel bad. He's lying to you, and you think he's even unfaithful, and he's not humble and repentant, and you're taking care of his kids. At some point, you got to say enough is enough. Don't, you know, being humble doesn't mean being a doormat.
Right.
Okay, so you know what you got to do. You don't need anyone to convince you. Just, if you want some confirmation, let me tell you this. Do what you know you got to do. Don't let yourself get pushed around. That's not right. Okay?
Yes.
All right, Juanita, take a stand. God wants you to. You're way more valuable than that. You know, you're not supposed to be, because really what you're doing is you're putting up with abuse, and that's not good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Juanita, we thank you so much for your call. Let us
thank
know if there's
you.
Anything else we can do. But stand firm, my sister.
Yes, thank you. Have a blessed day.
All right, you too.
Take care. We are Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. Thank you so much for listening. We are taking your calls at 855-454-5905. Let's go to Tanya, calling in from Philadelphia. Tanya, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning. What is your comment and question for us today, Tanya?
I'm angry about so many things in my marriage. I'm like, I don't even know where to begin. I think the main thing that stands out right now, I've been married for 12 years, and my husband and I are both saved. My husband works overnight. I say recently because the most recent episode was recently, but at least three times in the last year, he has sparked up conversations with women where he's spending, like, a lot of time on the phone talking to them. And it's, I shouldn't say women, a woman. He works with a woman. She works overnight with him every single weekend. You know, and I've brought it to his attention, and he has said, okay, you know, it's going to stop. And it did stop for a little while. And then, you know, it'll pick back up again. He'll say because something happened on the job. But not this recent time, but the time before that, you know, when I confronted him about it, you know, and he said, you know, they were going to stop calling back and forth. He sent her a text message that said, stop calling my husband. And I'm like, I'm not that type of person. You know, the responsibility starts here, you know, not her, because she's
and he sent it? He sent that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he sent that. And I was so angry. I wanted to actually call her and say, I didn't send that, you know. But, you know, I didn't. I left it alone. I let him handle it. So here we are again a year later. And, you know, and I'm not one, you know, that's going to be hunting you down or, you know, checking the cell phone or any of that. And, I mean, my cell phone bill comes every month. It's what it is, and I pay it. Every now and then, maybe every few months, I will go through the cell phone bill just to see what the usage and
but
things
but
like
But, Tanya, let me interject for just a second.
Yes.
Based on what you're telling me, it sounds like your husband is a coward. I mean, he won't even have the conviction or the audacity to say, listen, my wife doesn't feel good about this, so I can't have this conversation. Now, whether they're having an affair or not, I mean, number one is you're the wife and you don't condone this. You don't
right.
approve of this. You don't want this. It makes you feel uncomfortable. And I think you're, and rightly so. You have, as a wife, you have that right. You can say, I don't feel comfortable with this. I don't want you talking to this woman. That's it. Like, you know, and if he wants to know why, you could say something like my wife says, and we teach other couples this. It's not that I don't trust you, but I don't trust the devil, and I don't necessarily trust this woman. So
right.
don't make it about, you know, because sometimes men get defensive, like, oh, you could trust me. I love you. It's like, no, it's not about that. But the devil is real. If you've been listening to the show today, I mean, there was one previous caller who shared that she just had a friend, and it was just a friend. But then her husband ended up being unfaithful, and then she goes and, you know, cries on the friend's shoulder, and they end up, you know, sleeping together. And then she regretted it, because when it comes to the opposite sex, I mean, really, how many times is there just friendship? People
right.
might not be friends of your marriage. So in this case, you're telling him, cut that off. I don't want you talking to some other woman. Period.
Right.
Unless it's your mama or your sister, you don't need to be talking to her. And so he's not abiding by that. He's not protecting you. The Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians 13 that love always trusts, always hopes, always protects, always perseveres. So he's not protecting you. He's not protecting your heart. But instead of just taking a stand, it sounds like he's even trying to play around with this, like telling her and sending these texts, I'm the wife, leave him alone. It's like, no, he just needs to say, listen, my wife and I talked. This is just, that doesn't make her feel comfortable. And I'm happily married. I love my wife. I'm going to respect her. We can't be talking. We could just, if we work together, we work together. Have that you know of, have they been involved?
I would say at least 2.5 years.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about intimately involved. I'm talking about, has it led to an affair that you know of?
Not that I know of, but like I said, he works with her every weekend, overnight. Every Saturday night into Sunday, they work together overnight.
But see, your husband is playing with fire, honestly. Can he change shifts?
I've asked him to change shifts. I've asked him to look for another job or find another job. And, you know, he's told me no. You know, God is not telling him to do that. And I said to him, I don't believe you. You know, God is not going to have you do anything that's going to interfere, you know, with your marriage. You know, anyway.
What do you think it means when and you made your wedding vows and you say forsaking all others?
What do I think it means?
Yeah.
I think it means that you don't let anybody or anything from the outside come between the bond that you have with your wife, and not just with your wife, but with your husband and God.
Let me just tell you something. I don't know if your husband's listening, but if you can give him this message, his responsibility before God, and you're saying he believes he's a Christian, right? He's going to have to go to God one day, and the Bible calls him to present you to him as a radiant wife. The way that Christ loves the church, he needs to love you. He's failing. Now, you're probably not the best messenger. So if he's not listening, I invite you, he can call me. I would love to talk to him. But he's really blowing it, and he's playing with fire. Whether he's had an affair or not, I mean, he's just not protecting you. And you have every right to be upset about this.
Marcus, I have told him all those things, and I mean, you know, he just, when I, you know, and I try to present it in a loving way, but like he finds another scripture always to shoot me down. And I have really started to feel so incompetent about it. Like, I don't even know what to say anymore. He says to me, and I don't think he's owning his responsibility or he's not being accountable for his action. And it's not that I want to keep bringing it up to him. I don't want it to keep happening.
Mm-hmm.
He'll say to me, well, you know, I repented and God has forgiven me. You're still holding on to it. You're not praying. You're not taking it to God.
He's manipulating you. He's manipulating. He's being stubborn. He doesn't want to change. It's alarming. And I tell you what, you need to make sure that you're righteous. The Bible says in the scripture, our theme scripture of the day is Ephesians 4, that in your anger, you don't sin. So you want to make sure that you're still righteous, that you still love him. But sometimes we call it tough love, but it's really what love is. You can have your boundaries and say, listen, we're going to have to work. We got to talk. We got to fix this in our marriage. If not, this marriage cannot continue. And he's like, what, are you going to leave? Look, let me tell you something. We will have to separate because there's no way I'm going to share you with someone else, and there's no way I'm doing this. I mean, and you're absolutely within your rights to do that. Now, you should be respectful when you do it. It shouldn't be in the middle of an argument. You know, it should be like, listen, I loved you. I've prayed about this. And here's a solution. We're willing to get some counseling. But until you do, we can't be husband and wife. We won't sleep together. We won't do, because he needs to understand that you're very serious about this. And this is alarming. This is the kind of stuff that marriages break up because of. He is not indignant. He is playing with fire. It is dangerous. And he's not humble. And I hope and pray that there's somebody he's willing to listen to. But you know what's the beauty of this? And I can tell you this. The beauty of this is that God disciplines those he loves. So I believe God's discipline will come. don't stand in the way and prevent God from discipline, because here's the discipline. He's not treating you the way he should. He's on the verge of losing you. And so you got to be okay with that.
You know, I honestly am. And when it happened, you know, most recently, you know, I was like, you know what? And I did tell him, I'm like, you know, you don't respect me. You don't respect God. You don't respect what we have here. You know, we have a child. You know, what are you teaching her,
mm-hmm.
you know, by doing this? Because, you know, kids sense things.
Of course.
And, you know, I did tell him that he would have to go. And, you know, just like the other stories, you know, they don't have any place to go. And, you know, they tell you this. And, you know, I mean, you care about them. You know, you care about them. You love them. You married them. They're the father of your children. And you don't want them not to have any place to go. You know?
He's a grown man. He will figure it out. He will figure it out. And I think that that's something. That's the nurturing part of you, the mother. You're not his mother. He's a grown man. I don't know how old he is, but I'm sure he's old enough to be able to provide for himself. I mean, get a hotel for a few dollars a night. I mean, go to his best friend's house. I mean, definitely don't. I hope he doesn't go to the woman's house. But if he does, that shows you even more of where his heart is.
Right.
And so I think that wanting to rescue him, it's not going to help. That's enabling someone. He needs to see the consequences. You know, sometimes the only way guys are able to look up to God is when they're totally on the bottom. And if they never hit that bottom, they never look up.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to stand firm. And you know what God is saying to you clearly. You can't put up with this. This is not like, you know, he leaves his socks laying around the bedroom. You know, this is not like, you know, he left the toilet seat up and you wanted that. Like, this is serious. This is like, look, he is playing with fire. He's not repentant. You telling him that you don't want him talking to this woman. He's talking to her. He's not being honest about it. He's not broken about it. This is serious. So you got to be absolutely within your rights to say, I cannot live like this. I will not live like this. And then it's his choice. If he loves you that much, and if he's really, deep down inside, really loves God, he'll be okay. He'll change.
Right. Okay.
And that's what the Bible says. You know, you got your love for God needs to be greater than your love for your husband anyway. So make sure you're pleasing God in this marriage.
Okay. Yes.
All right. Well, Tanya, we'll be praying for you. Please call us back. Thank you. Us know if there's anything we can do. We're more than willing.
All right. Thank you so much.
God bless.
All right. God bless you.
Take care. All right, we have time for maybe one or two more calls, just one more call. All right, so Dawn from New Jersey is going to be our last caller of the day. Dawn, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. I was called because I had a situation. I've been married over 30 years.
Okay.
And I was married. This is my second marriage. I was married when I was 15 because of a situation with my mother being abused by my stepfather, and I had to get out of there.
Okay.
I always would jump in it and try to, you know, help my mother. But my husband now, he is so jealous of me. I mean, I've been in the ministry for 34 years. I've been saved for 34 years. I met my husband. I was in the church first. Then he came into the church.
Okay.
So we had two children, and I had a daughter from my first marriage.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like every time I do something. I mean, I'm a good work in the church. I'm the pastor's aide. You know, I do whatever my hands find to do.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband, he's just like, you know, the Lord called me to preach. Okay, I'm preaching. I'm doing what the Lord tell me to do. You know, I only preach one time out of the church. And the whole rest of the time, I preach inside our church.
Mm-hmm.
So every time I preach, he's a hindrance to me. It seemed like he get like so jealous. He walk around, don't say nothing. You know, act like he's mad. And when I get finished preaching, everybody say, "That was a wonderful word" or whatever. I never hear that from my husband. I never hear him say, "Oh, you did a good job. That was a wonderful word." I never hear that. I never hear him say, "Oh, you look nice," or mm-hmm. or you know, you know, I keep myself up. I'm over 50, and I try to keep myself up, exercise, do what I got to do. I have high blood pressure.
Dawn, I'm sorry.
And he is just so jealous.
Okay, so Dawn, the issue is here. It's, and we're talking about anger, right? So your husband is jealous of the life that you're, because you're taking care of yourself, because you're living better. I mean, what is it?
What is the anger?
Yeah, I mean, what you're saying, your husband's jealous, right? He doesn't like what you're doing. But, yeah, what's the angle? What gets you so angry here? Why you don't feel fine? Just, hey, this I'm going to take care of myself and be the best person that I can be?
Yeah, but I want him to, I'm like, if the Lord called him to preach, go ahead and preach and do what you got to do. Don't hinder me. Don't hinder me.
Okay.
And this is like, it goes in stages.
So you feel like he wants to bring you down.
And then the next time, it's like goes in stages where he gets like this attitude, like, because I'm doing stuff in the church.
I got you. So you're trying to better yourself, but you're also trying to serve God. Now, this, I wish we had more time, Dawn, but this is something that happens. Do you feel like, or does he feel like, let me go to this, does he feel like you're neglecting him because you're so involved in the church?
I don't know. I mean, I don't neglect him like that. I mean, I try to do, you know, everything I'm supposed to do at home, ask him that question. Like that. But, you know, and then there was a time he was saying stuff about me and the bishop, and, you know, and I can't even go to my bishop and talk no more. Our church was about 150 people. Now we down to 20 people. And I can't even go to the bishop because I'm scared that he might say something over the pulpit that I told him. You know, he do that sometime, and I'm like, I can't even go to the bishop. It's just being God.
Okay.
And I'm getting to the point where I'm taking antidepressants.
Yeah. No, I hear you. And this is what it sounds like, Dawn. It sounds like you're gonna have to find a place where you can be spiritually safe. And I mean, for you to say that you can't talk to your bishop, there has to be somebody you could talk to. It doesn't have to be the preacher. It could be somebody that you trust, whether they're in the church or not, that you could say, listen, if I talk to them, they're going to at least pray with me. They're going to understand. Because that's what it sounds like. It sounds like you have no outlet to be able to vent. Now, we know God hears us, but sometimes we also need a human to be able to put their arm on our shoulder and say, it's going to be okay. We're going to pray with this together.
You know, I go into the church. I go into the church. You know, you got to put on your smiley face. You know, everything's good. Mm-hmm. Then when you leave out the church, I'm getting the same thing.
I'm going
to the church and I'm supposed to be happy all the time.
I hear you, Dawn. And Dawn, you know what we'll do? We're going to close out with a prayer. I'm going to say a prayer for you and that you would really see what God is trying to do and guide you, okay? I'll pray with you. God in heaven, thank you so much for this time, God. I do pray you'll be with Dawn. I know that she's concerned and has issues in her marriage, even though she's been married for over 30 years, God. And Father, I also know that she is really seeking spiritual direction, God. I pray that you help her and open her eyes and direct her to where she needs to go and to find good Christian friends, God, maybe even some great girlfriends around her that would support her, that would be prayer warriors with her. Father, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Definitely. We're praying for you. And thank you so much for your call, Dawn.
All right. Thank you.
God bless.
All right.
Well, this is the end of our show.
Yeah.
We're getting, like I said, closer and closer to Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
We're excited about that. But we want to encourage you, if you have not done so already, follow us on Facebook.
That's right.
And hit us up. Go to our website, praisephilly.com. Look for me, Marcos Mercado. You can send me a message if you like. You can listen to our archive shows and, you know, have a blessed day the rest of the weekend. And we will be back next week.
All right. And much love going out to our producer, Larry. Thank you for all that you do. Have a peaceful, positive, and productive week. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.